I desire an interest in your prayers this morning. Always dependent on the help of the Lord. Those aren't just words that preachers say. I'd like to write the subject on the board, something we've been talking about. I've written on the board marriage, talents and forbearance. Part two, we've been given time to the subject of talents and forbearance, and then we had a message on talents and forbearance relative to marriage, which was part one, and then we had a message on talents and forbearance, or talents and marriage and mothers. And then this morning, Lord willing, this will be the last lesson of this series on this subject for now. The text that we've been reading out of is out of the 25th chapter of Matthew. Like to read it again and maybe a couple of other verses with it, since we haven't read the others for a few weeks. Matthew 25 and 14 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods." And he is speaking in a parable, and he's speaking about himself. He was the one that was going to travel into a far country. Jesus Christ was, and he called his servants to him, called all to him, and he delivered unto them goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and another he gave 2, and another it said that he gave 1 to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 more. And likewise, the one that had 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 talent, he received a talent. It didn't say he didn't receive any talent. He received a talent. He received some responsibility. He was given some gifts. He had ability to do something with the gifts and the responsibility that God had given to him. But it said that he digged in the earth and he hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. Reckoneth with them. Today, folks, we are living life. Time is speeding on. And the parable directly before this parable, right above it, not too far above it, same chapter, was the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. And it said that while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And today, the bridegroom is tarrying. He's taken his journey. He is allowing us to live life. He's giving us the opportunity to take advantage of the oil that is available to us. He has given us stewardship of talent. Every one of us. He's given you stewardship of responsibility that has been placed in your life. Talent. He has given you gifts. He has given to you ability. And He is tarrying, allowing us now with responsibility to do something with it that we might get gain by the grace of God. And it said that after a time, He came back and He reckoned with them. Did you catch that? Said that He reckoned with them. He reckoned. He said, all right, now is the time not to go out now to get gain, but now is the time to give an account. Of how you are stewards with what you had been given. And it will be done on an individual basis. It won't be the LaRonger congregation. He isn't going to come back for the LaRonger congregation and say, well, I want to see how the LaRonger congregation did. Well, this is my judge. No. He's not coming back for families. He's not coming back for couples. He's coming back to reckon with individuals. Individuals. And every individual has been given responsibility, stewardship of things. I want to be prepared, don't you? When He comes back at a time that's uncertain, that's unknown to us today, when He comes back at a time unexpected, which often, folks, if we were to say, let's line up against the wall with everyone that's in here, and let's put the person in front that we think is going to have to reckon with God next, and then let's just line them up. You know, a lot of times what we do is we put the oldest person in the front a lot of times, or somebody that we don't think is in very good health, and then the children are at the end and say, well, that's probably how it's going to be. That is often not what happens in life. There were many children that went out to see the Lord yesterday, and young people and middle-aged people and old people. I want to be ready. Cautionary note today, I want to be ready. We've reviewed how the Lord gave differing talents and responsibilities and abilities to different people. He didn't give everyone the same. In life, in the church, in the body of Christ, and also in marriage. And we've also talked about how the Scripture teaches that marriage is not just about me, myself, and I. Marriage is not just about a couple, that there's this thing called marriage where two people get together and it's designed so that they can live life happily ever after, and that's just what it is. But marriage was intended to be also representative of something so much more than that. It was intended to be representative of Christ's marriage to the church. And then we have a responsibility. We have been given stewardship that we're going to face God with on how well we represented Christ's marriage with the church with our own individual marriages. And further, we have been taught to forbear, not only in the church and out in life, but also in marriage, to forbear, to give space, to be patient, to give room for error, to give room for people to grow in life. And these truths we read in Colossians and Ephesians where the scriptures teach us to forbear one another and to forgive one another, even as Christ forgave us. And he also goes further and he says, and teaches us how to live with each other. It said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Two Sundays ago, we touched on the reality of the differences that meet when two couples come together in marriage, people that have different points of view, people that have been reared in different homes and different backgrounds and have different norms and standards of living and ways of thinking, and one's male and one's female, and the differences that are associated with that. And then they come together and meet and become as one. And with that comes responsibility and challenge. Because by virtue of those differences, it can put happiness at risk if you're not careful. And it can also tarnish, without the help of the grace of God, what he wants us to represent to the world and those around us with the marriage that we have. But those differences that we have, it's a good thing. It's intended to be a good thing. Maybe we can start from there now, this morning. Brothers and sisters in Christ, in the body of Christ, in La Ranger congregation, and husbands and wives here today, strongly held differences and understood weaknesses in our spouse, in our brothers and sisters in the Lord, do not have to represent battle lines. I want to say that again. Strongly held differences. The way you think, what you think is right, your preferences, your natural tendencies, recognized weaknesses in each other, do not have to represent personal battle lines. It doesn't have to represent a situation where we feel like that we have been personally attacked or being brought into personal question as a result of strongly held differences. In life, in the church, and also in marriage. Why is it that we do that, though, so often? I believe that God has tried to prepare us as a church body in how we are taught in the Word of the Lord and in marriage to understand that differences between people and between husband and wife and between members in the body of Christ, that those differences don't have to tear us apart, but that they can serve to help us grow and prosper and learn and show Christ to the world and to our spouse, to our children, and that we can also experience personal growth in our own lives. But if it is going to happen that way, it's going to require willingness, humility, a vision, and it's going to require Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, you can have a vision, you can feel like you're willing, you can believe you're humble. Without Jesus, it's very difficult. It's impossible to be what He wants us to be. It's impossible for marriage to be what marriage was designed to be without Jesus. It requires humility. It requires a willingness to live this way. And the Lord wants us to capture a vision of what it looks like. Now specifically, Jesus said that one was given five talents, another one two, and another one one. In marriage, where I might be a one talent, if I can put it that way, my spouse might be a five. And where I might be a five in responsibility, in ability, in gifts that God has given to me, where I might be a five, my spouse might be a two. And for us to really prosper and grow and learn from each other and from God, that's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. In fact, sometimes your spouse might be able to grow in their weakness quicker, more quickly, if you're able to grow yourself and get out of it what you need to get out of it more quickly. And then the Lord might help them move on, maybe see themselves. Sometimes people don't see how they are. I think sometimes the Lord does things for a reason and a purpose. He always does things for a reason and a purpose. I want to get out of life what the Lord has for me to get out in life. And I want to realize that in marriage there are times where I'm strong in one area, my spouse might be weak, and vice versa. But you know what? We can so quickly take for granted the benefits that we receive from our spouse or our brothers and sisters in the Lord and in the congregation. Take for granted what they do for us and begin to fixate on those areas where we believe they aren't where they should be. You ever done that? You know, it seems like that it's human nature that as people, it's much more pleasant for me to focus on where I believe I'm strong than it is to focus on where I believe I'm weak. And it's also human nature to evaluate other people in terms of my strength. And then you can look at other people in terms of your strength and evaluate them as a person based on where you're strong. And if they're not strong in the area where you're strong, then there's a problem. We can do that sometimes. But the Lord doesn't want us to do that. A couple of Sundays ago, we talked about the parable that Jesus gave regarding it said that we piped, but you didn't dance, and we mourned, but there was no lamenting that took place. And part of what that example was doing was showing two ends of the spectrum. Playing a musical instrument and dancing versus mourning and lamenting. And sometimes in the talents that God has given to us, if He's given me the talent to be a piper, then if I'm not careful, I can evaluate everybody in terms of how well they can play the flute and pipe. And if they don't play it as well as I do, then all of a sudden that's a problem, and I can start fixating on that and taking for granted all the good things that I am benefiting from that my spouse is doing for me. But if she could only pipe better, if he could only lament better. But the Lord didn't set it up that way. He didn't set it up in the body of Christ that all of us were going to have the same strengths, that all of us were going to see things exactly the same way. When we do that, we're at grave risk of missing the point. We are at risk of not growing. We are at risk of not showing the world what a godly marriage looks like. We are at risk of putting our own marriage at risk. And here's the thing, something else. This is a truth that I was too long in comprehending. There are places I just thought I was a five. There are places I just thought I was strong. And turns out, I was the one that was a one or two. And it was my spouse that was a five. That can go both ways. You ever been there? You know that the sooner and the more quickly we get to the place where we're willing to listen, and give space and give room to consider, those areas that are outside of what we believe is the norm, the more quickly we can grow and find the fulfillment that God wants us to have in marriage and also in the body of Christ, in our own congregations. I believe that the sooner that we can recognize and move away from the position, hear me out, that this is right and this is wrong and that's all there is to it, and I'm right and you're wrong and you need to change to how I am. The sooner we can recognize that sometimes there's more than one right way to do something. And the sooner that we can recognize that actually the best way is probably a combination of both. Not completely each, but somehow a balance between the two. I'm not speaking of being wishy-washy and saying, well, we need to just take the word of the Lord and let each to their own. That's not my message today. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that sometimes we can approach truth and prematurely believe that we have it all understood in understanding and in practice, when the Lord is trying to lead us to more light. When the Lord is wanting to show us what the fullness of truth looks like. And oftentimes He uses our spouse to try to lead us and help us and show us what the fullness of truth looks like. But as long as we are dug in to I'm right and this is how it is and here's the reasons, and we don't give opportunity to listen, to give space, to ask the Lord to help us be humble and recognize that we need so much help on an individual basis. Until we get there, we're going to stunt our spiritual growth. We're going to stunt the relationship that God would have us to have in marriage. There's something else. Did you know that the one that has five talents still needs to give space for the one that has one talent and two talents to exercise their talents? Nowhere here, God never said that the one with five talents should push to the side the one with two and the one with one, because you have five. Nowhere does it say that. In fact, the people that have one talent and two talents in marriage and in the church have a responsibility to exercise their talents. God came back and He reckoned with the ones that He gave one and two talents. And they had a responsibility to exercise their talents. And the one that believes that they have five talents have to be very careful that they don't falsely believe that because they have the most responsibility in an area, or because they have more gifts in a certain area, a greater ability, a more thorough understanding in an area, that when they're on the scene, then the one that has one or two talents needs to take a back seat and behave as if they have zero talents. You understand what I'm saying? What would it be like if somebody came in to the congregation, to church service, and said, I'm the best singer in the congregation, and while I'm here, as long as I'm in your midst, all singing will be done by me. I'll lead the singing. I'll lead out in singing. I'll be the singer. In fact, I think I'm the best prayer warrior here too. So while I'm here, I'll do the singing and praying. And you know, come to think of it, I can exhort probably better than anybody here. So while I'm in the building, I'm not speaking to myself. While I'm in the building, I'll do the singing, I'll do the praying, I'll do the exhorting. And you know what? New people that come in, and then the list goes on. Well, how would that be? That way, when we come to church service, whoever thinks there are five, they become who it's all about, all service long. Everybody else takes a back seat. Do you think that's the way God set it up? Do you think we'd be edified by that? Do you think we're edified by that in marriage, if that's the approach that we take? Tell our spouse, well, now that's my area. Just stand back over here. It doesn't work when we do that. God has blessings that He wants to achieve through the one talent and through the two talents and to the five talents. And consider this. He gives five talents maybe to one and one talent to the other. But did you know that it's possible for the one that He has given five talents, for that person to begin to rely on their own ability? And when they end up at the end of the day, that's what they have left is five talents. And in the very end, the Lord takes the five talents away that He gave them. But the one that has one or two, if they are allowed by the Spirit of the Lord to exercise their talents in church service and in marriage, in the home, even though you may think you're a five, but you allow your spouse to exercise their one and their two talents, And you don't try to bury their talent. You don't try to smother their talent. And the Lord is able to work through that talent and give the increase. You remember what he did with the loaves and the fishes? He was able to feed the multitudes. God is not limited by our ability. He's not limited by the ability that he gave us in the very beginning and asked us to go use them. God is limited by our willingness to allow him to work through us. And it is that way in our marriages too. Let's be willing in life. Let's be willing in the body of Christ here in our congregation. Let's be willing in our marriages to give space and to give room for everyone to fill the place that God has given them to fill. And he'll bless us if we'll do that. In marriage, be willing. Be willing to set your way to the side and give consideration even when you think you have five talents of knowledge and ability. And if you have one talent or two talents, by the same token, be willing to recognize when maybe God has given a greater gift in some area and let the Lord work with that gift. Let them take advantage of the knowledge and the ability and the understanding that they've been given. And again, I'll say that the older that I get, the more truth that I see in some of the areas that were presented to me much earlier on that I didn't recognize. And then over time, I come to recognize that I was wrong and that my spouse was right. And so before we close this morning, I'd like to leave you with a couple of verses. Proverbs 25 and 8 says, "Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof when thy neighbor has put thee to shame." You ever thought about that verse? "Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do when it's all said and done and all the truth comes out and the whole situation is more fully understood, and thy spouse has put thee to shame." It's just a cautionary verse from the one that wrote Proverbs. Be careful not to go forth hastily, to strive in those areas where you think you're so right, lest you find out that you weren't as right as what you thought you were. But if that happens, because it says, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof. If it happens in marriage, in the church, in life, know how to say I'm sorry. Know how to say I was wrong. It's okay to say I messed up. I was wrong. I went into that and I pushed my way in that, and I shouldn't have, and I was wrong, and I'm sorry. That goes so far in marriage, if you mean it from your heart. And then put those learnings to use in practice. The next time that you feel like that you're so right on something, and that you feel like you see it so clearly. Maybe it's a different situation than last time. But remember that last time, that's how you felt too, about a different situation. And that you weren't as right as what you thought you were. And so put it into practice that, you know what, I remember that. This time, I'm going to approach this not as hastily. I'm not going to strive with my point. I'm going to try to be more willing to have an open discussion where I'm willing to listen. And so James said in 1 and 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to speak, slow to hear, quick to wrath." Is that what it says? No, that's not what it says. It said, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. It didn't say swift to let the other one get done talking so that you can talk. Have you ever talked to somebody before, and while you're talking, they may not be saying anything, but while you're talking, you get the feeling that they're not hearing the thing you're saying, and that they just can't wait for you to stop talking so that they can start talking again. You ever had that happen? And they say, "Well, I let you talk. You got to say your piece, but you weren't listening." This didn't say swift to let other people talk. This said swift to hear. Be ready and quick to hear and slow to speak. Why? Well, for these reasons we just talked about the verse above. You might find that if you wait just a little bit, you'll see something you didn't see before, and you'll be really glad you didn't say anything. And you'll be able to have a more complete understanding of whatever the situation is. And slow to wrath for the same reason. Progressive business leaders out in the corporate world see the value when there is a large investment to make that they're getting ready to pour a lot of resources into. People out in the business world, not just spiritual world, the business world, they see the value in getting people that are from a completely different business, completely different set of strengths, and pull them in and say, "Hey, businessman, what do you think about this operational investment I'm getting ready to make? Here's what I'm getting ready to do." Why do they do that? Because they understand that sometimes people from a completely different background and way of thinking can see things that you can't see. And so God set it up that we can enjoy the same value in the body of Christ and in our marriages. That when we think, "Oh yeah, that's my area right there. I got this. This is my area." It might be good to have that other point of view, that other perspective, and be swift to hear. Let's take advantage and allow for that space to happen. This morning, husbands that are here, give your wives space in your marriage. Give them room. Listen to them. Be willing to allow them to enjoy having their preference even when it's not your preference. Regardless of how strongly you may think you're right. Jesus Christ gave His life for the church, His bride. He gave up what felt good that day, what would have felt better that day when He was crucified. And wives, yield to your husbands. Give them space to fulfill the place that God has given them a responsibility to fill. And both, husband and wife, May God help us all to live not giving space grudgingly, but with love and with care. You see how it takes both parties, both the husband and the wife. It takes all working together to be able to allow the plan of God to work like He wants it to work. May God help all of us with the talents that He has given to us individually, to those that are around us, that we're good stewards of what He's given us. We don't bury it. We utilize it. And that we also give space and opportunity for other people to exercise their talents and their responsibilities and their gifts. And if we do that in marriage and in the church and in life, then I believe God has something special in store for each one of us. May God bless these thoughts to your heart and give us